This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Most any scandal in the world these days is described as a something gate. The phrase dates back to the summer of 1972, when five men were arrested in the middle of the night during a break-in at Democratic Party headquarters in the Watergate office building in Washington, D.C. The subsequent scandal brought down Richard Nixon's administration, made him one of the most notorious men in American history. Anytime someone observes, what did they know and when did they know it? It's not the crime, it's the cover-up, follow the money, or third-rate burglary. It's a Watergate reference, whether they know it or not. The Watergate crime and scandal have been exhaustively documented, but now a great historical novelist has run it through his imagination. Thomas Mallon's new book is called Watergate, a Novel. Tom Mallon joins us in our studios. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
With so much on the record, what's left to be imagined by a novelist?
Mostly how it felt, I think. I thought if you were going to do this as a novel, you had to get inside the people who were there. And so I try to tell the story from essentially seven different points of view and see what it felt like. And I avoid most of the big events that people, they certainly occur, but I don't tell the story the way you would tell it in nonfiction. I tell it more as a series of private dramas and try to get a certain intimacy in it.
As you will learn on tour, there are Watergate buffs.
Oh, yes.
Like there are Civil War buffs and jazz buffs who will catch you on the smallest bit of, misinformation or imagined information. Mm-hmm. How important was historical accuracy to you?
I refer in the acknowledgments of the book to the always sliding scale of historical fiction. And I think you really have to make these decisions book by book and almost scene by scene. I don't violate any of the big historical moments, dates. Richard Nixon still resigns at the end of this book. It's not what in the historical fiction biz we call alternate history, where, you know, the South wins the Civil War and things like that happen. But within those events, I think there's still plenty of room for a novelist to imagine what might have happened, not instead of the real events, but in addition to the real events, and how people might actually have felt about them in a way that's somewhat different from what they put onto the record. Mm.
Your novel reminds us, when the men were arrested and the scandal began, Richard Nixon was at the height of his powers.
Absolutely. He was cruising toward re-election. He had a very weak opponent in George McGovern. McGovern wasn't nominated yet, but things were certainly trending his way. Nixon had been to China. Mm-hmm. He had been to Russia doing arms negotiation. And so he was on his way toward what happened in November, which was an electoral win with 49 states. And the sheer unnecessariness of the Watergate break-in is something that must have tormented him and his allies in all of the years that followed.
Watergate scandal, we think we know something about vivid characters like Martha Mitchell and G. Gordon Liddy, but let me get you to talk about Rosemary Woods, a longtime secretary.
She'd been Richard Nixon's secretary from the time he was in the Senate in 1950, so she'd been with him nearly a quarter century by the time of the resignation. She never married. She did not give interviews. She was very private. Her loyalties to him were extraordinary. Mm-hmm. She is most famously associated with the erasure of 18 and a half minutes on one of the tapes that was subpoenaed.
The picture of her, a dignified woman making an undignified stretch, became well known.
And I think that must have been tormenting to her. And I've talked to a couple of people who knew her, and they remark on her charm, her wit. She was a terrific dancer. I talked to somebody who used to escort her around town, and he said, don't finish the book without giving her a chance to dance. And I tried to imagine what it must have been to feel the personal isolation that she must have been, because she was a single person, essentially by herself, but to be at the red-hot center of this catastrophe that was dragging down somebody that she admired unquestionably.
Yeah. So how fascinating is Richard Nixon to a great novelist?
to me endlessly. I've actually been trying to write an essay about him, an actual nonfiction essay. Now that this book is done, grappling with him and sort of the way he loomed in my life for really so many years, he was, I'd say, the central public figure in my life. I went to fourth grade in the fall of 1960 wearing a Nixon Lodge button. And he was the president who presided through my college years, which were very tumultuous, from Kent State and then all through things like the China trip. And I had enormously conflicted feelings about him, the way people do about Lyndon Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I remember the night he died in 1994. I was living in New York in those days, and the news came over the television that he had died in New York Hospital. And I remember I started sobbing. And I started sobbing not in the way you sob for somebody that you had simple uniform affection for, but sobbing for somebody that you had a lot of admiration for, as well as some horrified feelings about. And, you know, Nixon was always worried about letting people down, and he mm-hmm. did let people down, and he let down all the people like my father who were his fervent supporters. But he was a complicated figure. Bill Clinton, in his eulogy, said that the time had passed to judge Richard Nixon on anything but the complete record of his life. And it's a wildly, wildly mixed record.
After spending so much time with him, on the whole, can you like him?
I want to weasel out of it and say you can't give a yes or no answer to it, but I would have to say that unless there was part of him that appealed to me, I couldn't have spent the time with him. And, you know, most of the tapes now, not most of them, but an awful lot of the famous ones, the crucial ones, you can listen to them on YouTube now. And the number of nights that I fell asleep with Richard Nixon's being the last voice I heard, because I often write late at night, there must be some appeal other than morbid interest that kept me coming back to him.
Thomas Mallon, his new novel, Watergate. Thanks so much.
Thank you.